You are now dialed into the Thunderwolves sports feed.
Well, good morning, and welcome to this December 10th edition of the Thunderwolves sports feed here on CILU Radio 102.7 FM and LURadio.ca on the World Wide Web. Well, we have got a beauty for you today, folks. It is a very special guest I'll have on the line, Lakehead basketball coaching alum and current Maine Red Claws head coach. Scott Morrison will join me on the line, talk about how his season's going in the D-League, and they're also taking on the Raptors 9:05 tomorrow in a rare early day game, 11 a.m. tomorrow. And I also had the opportunity to chat with some of Raptors media about Scott Morrison's transcendence into the pros. And I also had a chance to chat with Phoenix Suns assistant coach Nate Bjorkgren, who also began in the D-League and is now in the NBA. All that and so much more coming your way as we get things tuned up here in the booth. Here's a little track from the almighty Zap. Nobody's Fault But Mine. Now, we've got Scott Morrison ready to go here on the line, and we're going to hear first my interviews with Leo Routens of Raptors TV, NBA basketball analyst, of course, also a former head coach of the national team and a sparkling career that Leo's had, and we see him on TSN and Sportsnet now with the Raptors game. But I had a chance to catch up with him and during a trip to Toronto there about a week and a half ago when I was covering the Lakehead Brock games in St. Catharines. And I'll just give you a listen next of what Leo had to say about Scott Morrison and his rise to the NBA D-League.
Well, as a, you know, representing Lakehead, of course, I'm following sort of the progress of Coach Scott Morrison.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, making big inroads into the D-League and Coach of the Year last year, All-Star Game. Also won the, you know, the game against the first game in Canada.
Right.
Would you see any significant, sort of a Canadian star on the rise in terms of getting into the NBA? How do you think he's being received so far in the media and whatnot? How do you think it's going for him?
I'm starting to notice more. I'm a big fan of Scott. I think Scott's, one, he's a tremendous coach, and I think he's done a lot of great work to get where he has. And, the problem is, as with a lot of great coaches, that sometimes the path you take isn't out there for everybody to see. It's a quieter path. It's a more roundabout way. And for him to get, into this league, that was the path he chose. And he's been great. I mean, I talk to NBA people. I talk to people around the Celtics who they're linked with, and everybody speaks extremely highly of him. Everybody. So, I would not be surprised if he's on an NBA bench in the near future. And we're finally starting to hear more people talk about him. I mean, the fact that when they did beat the 905 team early, there was some little publicity. I know all the media guys here who also covered a national team and things like that, they're all aware of him, which is great.
Yeah. I'm trying to find Nate Bjorkgren as well. He's another coach. He and Scotty went head-to-head at the All-Star game last year, the D-League All-Star game. How do you see this, the ladder and, the transition from the D-League to the NBA? Some people don't, but...
Yeah, it's just relationships, I think Scotty understands that you want to establish as many relationships as you can along the way, and word just starts spreading. That really is the key, because it's a relationship business, and the more people you connect with, the more people you know, and doors open. So, but again, he's got that personality that I would not be surprised, sooner than later he's on an NBA bench.
So that was an interview with Leo Routens, and we're going to hear next from Nate Bjorkgren, who's shared some thoughts about his transition from the D-League to the NBA.
Because you guys faced off in the All-Star last year. It must have been a great experience for you. Now that you've made, gone from Bakersfield now to the bench in the NBA, how has it been sort of the transition from the D-League to the NBA? Could you describe,
Yeah, you know, the first of all, the D-League really prepares you as a coach. You know, being a head coach in the D-League, you have to do a number of things. You know, you're coaching your own team, and the roster's changing all the time. There's lots of things that can happen, trades, assignments, players going overseas, new guys coming and going. You're doing scouting and player housing and travel, and I mean, you have to do so many things that as an assistant, you know, in the NBA, you know, I've done that. I've had to do that for years in the D-League, so the D-League is a great place for coaches to, you know, to learn the pro game.
Yeah. What was it like at the All-Star game last season? It was all, must have been, you know, a tremendous honor. And was there a real rivalry between you and Scott that day? I mean, I know it's more of a camaraderie, probably.
Right. You know, what's interesting about that is we never played in the regular season. Bakersfield and Maine never played.
Okay.
And you know, going to the, you know, coaching the All-Star game last year was a real, I mean, it was one of our team goals. You know, our players created that for the coaches to go do that. You know, our guys played together and shared the ball, and you know, that's why we had a good record. That was a lot of fun, and Coach Morrison does a good job. He's a good coach. They took it to us in the All-Star game, and he did a good job throughout the whole year in the D-League.
Is it surprising seeing a Canadian coach? He's from a town of, you know, 500 people or less in my home province of PEI, Prince Edward Island. But is it, do people say anything? I mean, he's a proud guy, but I mean, no one talks crash or anything, but all I'm looking for is, like, what's the rumor about Morrison, maybe?
Yeah, he's a good coach. He does a good job. Like I said, we never played him in the regular season before, but, you know, obviously by, you know, seeing him in the All-Star game, again, he does a good job with his guys. His guys played well, gave him that good record, and he got a chance to go there. I'm sure he would say that as well, that his guys played hard for him. And that's a big part of being coaching. He's organized, and his guys play hard because, like what I always tell my guys, you play hard. Play as hard as you can. I'm going to do everything I can to get you to the NBA. Yeah. You know, so we had a lot of call-ups, and that just helps everybody play. But you know, being where you're from, I think basketball, I'm from a small town myself in Iowa. You know, basketball is basketball. If you have the passion for it, and if you want to live it and study it and love it, you know, there's no boundaries for it.
Were you guys able to commiserate a little bit for the game?
Oh, it was in the All-Star game.
Yeah,
you know, it was so busy and stuff there. We did. We actually were on the same bus together to the game. But it was just, you know, we practice at two ends at the same time together. So it was just like, hello, how you doing? It's great to be here. But it just, those All-Star games go bang, bang, bang. You're in town, then you're out. So
yeah,
it was a good experience.
All right, those two interviews there. That last one with Nate Bjorkgren of the Phoenix Suns and formerly of the Bakersfield Jam organization. Well, it's all the same organization, of course, the Phoenix Suns and the Bakersfield Jam. But he's made the transition to Phoenix, and I've got Scott Morrison on the line with me now. Good morning, Scotty.
Good morning. Thanks for giving me a shout.
Absolutely. Always good to hear from you. In those interviews, I was asking, you know, Leo and Nate about, you know, sort of the D-League and what it's been like developing. Like, and I mean, how's your season going so far for you?
Yeah, it's been an up and down season, especially compared to last season when we got off to the best start in league history last year over our first 20 games. This year we've been kind of up and down, not quite as talented, but we have a group of guys that are working hard and showing improvement. We won two games last weekend and are, I think, one game over 500, but it's going to be a bit more of a grind this year, and we're going to have to really stay locked in on improving every week.
You had a big win last, about 2 weeks ago, I guess, in the first D-League game played ever in Canada. That was in Mississauga at the Hershey Center against the 905. You know, there was a lot of hype about that game. Obviously, Canada was very excited to host the game, that they got their D-League team and whatnot. It must have been a moment of pride for you as well to be able to play on Canadian soil, and not only that, but get the win.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it was, on the one hand, it was just the name of trying to win, but at the same time, there was some significance for Canada and the franchise. It was the first game. It was nice to be a part of it, and obviously, like you said, it was nice to stick it to them a little bit and come out of there with the win. We know had to play them five more times at that point, so you can't get too excited, but in terms of that one game, it was definitely nice to come out on top.
And you actually will play them tomorrow. Now, I think you've gone 2-1. You've won two of the three against the Raptors so far.
Yeah, we actually played the three games straight that week. We played their one game, and they came back to our place, played two more. We beat them up that first night, and then they came back and beat us in the fourth quarter on the last game of the series. So we're hoping to be motivated to give them a little bit of payback tomorrow. But the thing about the D-League is that there's constant turnover of roster, and you never really know who will be there from week to week in terms of NBA players. And last time we played them, we had three Celtics, and we expect tomorrow that they're going to have three Raptors from the big club with them, and we'll have just possibly one player from Boston.
Does it ever get, there obviously must be some level of frustration with the nature of it, but also acceptance. I mean, this is your second season as head coach and your third year with the team. You must get used to it, but do you ever think in the back of your mind, man, if I could just get that one player, that one defender that I need that game, that would help us win? I mean, I realize you're always contributing to the greater goal of development, but how do you approach that?
Yeah, it's a tough thing. It's probably one of the tougher things about coaching in this league. Just the human nature of a coach is that you want to win every night, and you kind of live or die based on how those wins and losses fall into place throughout the season. And the D-League is no different. Every D-League coach is definitely trying to win and probably losing sleep when they lose. But you just got to keep reminding yourself that at the end of the day, what's more important is that the players are improving. And what's even more important than that is if you have players assigned from your big club that you are taking the time with them to make sure that they're getting the most out of their experience while they're with you and also showing improvement. So it's tough. It's tough to be, you know, not as concerned with winning or losing. It's probably a lie to say that you're not. But at the same time, you got to keep reminding yourself what the real purpose of the team is. And then you got to hope that whoever's, you know, following you or evaluating you in terms of your bosses and such, that they're keeping that in mind too.
Yeah, there must be sort of a mutual understanding, in terms of the goals at the start of the season to mid-season. Is there sort of a good dialogue there between yourself and I guess it would be Danny Ainge, and are you in contact with Coach Stevens as well?
Yeah, I mean, we have my main point of contact is our general manager, who's the director in Boston. That's Dave Lowen. So I talk to Dave pretty much every day when we have guys here. Like right now, we've had Jordan Mickey, one of the Celtics bigs, for about 3 weeks. So I have regular contact with Coach Stevens probably once or twice a week as well on that, just what our progress is with him. And then I try not to bother him much, but yeah, Danny will definitely be following and let me know if he thinks someone should be working on a certain aspect of the game or wants me to get one of their guys in a certain situation when the game comes. So there's a lot of feedback and a lot of suggestions, advice, et cetera, that go back and forth. And that helps me keep in mind that that's the real reason that we're here. And they all want to see the team do well, but they're obviously more concerned with the player development side as well.
In my interview there with Nate Bjorkgren, he said that it's all about, you know, I asked him about you guys' experience at the All-Star game last year and what that was like. And he said, you know, that was a team goal of his. And it was really, you know, he had to thank his players for getting him to that point. And in turn, you know, his goal is to get them to the NBA. So it's really, there's some symbiosis there in terms of playing for each other. And there's a real, while there's the constant flux in the roster, there's the common goal of trying to get better together and try to do better for each other. How does that sit with you?
Yeah, I think that's pretty accurate. I mean, in this league, when one guy's doing well, everyone's doing well. The team's winning and playing well, everyone looks better because of it, right from the head coach down to the, you know, fifth assistant down to the 12th man on the team. Not all the players and not all the staff are going to get to the NBA, but there's lots of other opportunities to make real good livings in this business, you know, whether it be in Europe or other pro levels. So no matter what level you're trying to get to, they're going to value winning, and they're going to value if you improve over time, and those things go hand in hand with everyone involved. It's easy to be on the same page when everyone gets something out of the team success.
What's your approach coming into Toronto for tomorrow's game?
Well, basically, we felt we lost that last game against Toronto because they outworked us, especially in the second half. And we're gonna have to try and match their work ethic. They're a smaller team that plays fast, plays hard. And, we're gonna have to match that just to try and keep pace. And they've added a couple players since the last time we played. They have a big kid named Ronald Roberts, who's last year was one of the best bigs in the D League. He wasn't here last time, so he's gonna be a new challenge, and that's kind of par for the course for any weekend in this league. There's always something new on the scouting report that you got to get ready for. But I think when you play 50 games, if you can just get your guys playing hard on game day, playing together, that's always the first step. And if you could accomplish that, then you can start to tweak things here or there that might give you an advantage. But at the end of the day, there's a lot of nights out of those 50 where someone doesn't come to play, and you can get an advantage by just playing hard, being a good teammate.
How have you seen the, in terms of when you look back at a game, win or lose, can you say, well, we may not have won, but at least, you know, this guy, we met the goals for this player, or these couple of players are, you know, running the pick and roll a lot better, defending a lot better. Are you more apt to kind of pull those smaller victories out of games?
Yeah, in a certain way. I mean, from a player development standpoint, individually with each guy, you got to look at the positives and track the negatives and try and keep them going forward. You know, example was our last loss against Toronto. We had James Young from Boston with us, and I thought he had a real good game, and that was a positive thing for him and for us. But at the same time, in terms of the viewpoint of coaching the team, I like to say it all the time. One of my favorite quotes from our friend Dave Nutbrown out in Halifax is that, you know, moral victories are for losers, and only real victories count. So it's kind of a negative way of looking at it, but it's kind of how you got to look at it as a coach of a team, because at the end of the day, especially at the professional level, you're going to get rewarded for winning as opposed to losing. But when you're working with guys one-on-one, if they're playing hard and they're trying to improve, then you definitely got to focus on positives.
I suppose it would be a win for yourself and your coaching staff if, say, you get a call up to the Celtics and that player has a big role in the Celtics winning a few games, or, you know, if you get a call up and all of a sudden the Celtics are beating the Golden State Warriors in the next game, right?
No question. I mean, in the last two Celtics games, James Young, who we've had a lot the last year and a half, he got a call from Coach Stevens and really played well in his minutes. And even last night, he was playing good minutes in crunch time, and that's really rewarding for everyone that's involved in Maine here, because everyone plays a part in helping him get better when he's here. And even though the moral victories might be for losers, but that's definitely a moral victory that we can count on.
For sure. All due respect to Coach Nutsy there.
Yes, just in case he's listening.
In terms of the Raptors, of course, I mean, it's Canada. I mean, the Raptors had scored a big win against the Spurs last night. And, I mean, the Spurs always seem to coast, and then, you know, it's just all preparation for the playoffs. And Coach Popovich, of course, is among the most respected coaches in the game, if not the most. But he's not a big fan of the three-pointer. And maybe is that just an old-school view? Because I can know for a fact that one of your points of pride and has been embracing and maximizing the three-point game.
Yeah, I mean, I obviously can't speak for him, and I would be a fool to argue with anything that he would say, because he's obviously, like you said, one of the top coaches in the world. I think that if he had a team like Golden State, perhaps he would do it differently, because it would be a major strength. And I would suggest that, without knowing the situation, that most good coaches are going to adjust their system based on the personnel that they do have. They may try to get certain guys in the offseason, but once that training camp hits, they got to figure out where their strengths lie and try and, you know, promote those strengths, as opposed to making guys do what they're not necessarily comfortable with or good at doing. So obviously, when you look at his roster, he's not laden with excellent three-point shooters. They have a few that I know knock threes down, but obviously their strengths lie on the interior and the penetration from their guards.
Yeah,
and obviously overall team play. They're the best at playing as a team in the NBA. So that's, in my estimation probably where the root of that statement might come from. Obviously, I probably would never say that myself. Most of my career, whether it be as a player or coach, has been centered around trying to get good threes, and it was a major part of our success last year in Maine, and was one of the things that we tried to look at when forming our team this year, was get some guys that could not only hit those shots, but guys that could create them for others.
My last question, Scott, has to do with here in Canada with the national team. What are the future plans with yourself and the national junior men's team? After your experience there the last few years, is that going to continue next season, do you know?
Well, nothing's been signed or set in stone for next summer, but I definitely want to stay involved with the national program. They've kind of alluded to me that they'd like me to stay involved. I'm hoping that, like everybody else, I'm hoping someday I can get the call to be involved with the senior team and help those guys try and make runs at the Olympics. But obviously I've been very honored to work with the junior team. It's really been really exciting this year to see a lot of the guys that we've had on those rosters do well in the NBA. You know, Andrew Wiggins hit a game winner last night in overtime. He's had a great year. Trey Lyles played 30 minutes last night in Utah's win over New York. And, you know, more and more guys are coming up through the major Division I ranks. So that's really been fun to follow those guys' career, and definitely one of the most enjoyable parts of the year is that two months where you get to work with those guys and there's no school or paychecks or anything to worry about. And obviously an honor to represent the country. And, you know, the last 4 years has been one of the highlights for me. So hopefully I'll be involved in some way for sure.
I have one more question off of that. We've seen a couple of coaches, well, three major teams in the OUA, all coaches taking sabbaticals this year, those being Dave Smart at Carleton, Roy Rana at Ryerson, and Windsor's coach, Chris Oliver. It seems as if they're using the template that you did in terms of transitioning from the university game to possible professional aspirations. What's your reaction to seeing so many coaches taking a similar path, it would seem?
Well, I think that it'd be nice to think that those guys, you know, saw what happened with me the last 2 years and say, hey, that was, you know, a good idea. I should try and do that. But probably more likely is that they saw that I was able to get a year off to get professional development without losing my job. And they probably went to their AD and said, what the heck's going on here? If Morrison can do that, we should be able to get 2 or 3 years off. So I can't really speak for what they're looking to do. I do keep in touch with Roy and Dave a little bit, and I hope to see them this winter on their travels. I know they're not necessarily spending the season with one team like I did. They're traveling around and trying to learn and see different things in the basketball world, and it's a very rewarding and valuable experience if you can have enough success at your school to, you know, convince your AD to let you do that. So obviously when I took my sabbatical, I didn't plan on staying here. I planned on going back and being a better coach for it, and that was the agreement that you know, Tom and I had, and Ryan, our president. But, you know, a great opportunity came up, and, you know, every day that it goes well down here, I think of those guys, and I really appreciate the chance they gave me and also the understanding they gave me to allow me to go and pursue this.
Very well said, Scotty. We're almost out of time, so we're going to have to wrap it up, but I want to thank you for your time today and wish you the best of luck against the 905 tomorrow and moving forward with the season with the Breakaws.
Yeah, man, always good to talk to you. Hoping to get back up at Thunder Bay this spring for maybe a camp or two and see everybody. And also one of the best parts about this new 905 team is getting to see a few of our former players at each of the games. This will be the second time up here. You know, new group of people will be there watching the game, including our guy Franco and Mark English and J.J. Jones will be there tomorrow. So it's good to see people when we go back up there.
All right, very good. Thanks again, Scotty.
All right, man, have a good one.
Take care. Travel safe. All right, that was, of course, Scott Morrison with me on the line talking about his experience with the Maine Red Claws. future aspirations with the national team or continuing his tenure with the junior men's national team there? Well, let's sit back and relax and listen to the sounds of George Benson. This one's called Nature Boy.
Woo! Was a boy very strange enchanted boy
you could ever learn. Alright, I hope you've enjoyed this edition of the Thunderbolt Sports Feed on CLU Radio 102.7 FM and LURadio.ca. Come on back next week. We'll have some more holiday feedings and feastings on your campus and community station. Thanks so much.